Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Mercy is the mark of a great man.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you.
You are the greatest.
Please forgive me.
You're doing a great job.
I love being around my mom and dad.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, there's no secret that kids thrive in a home where their parents use equal measures of God's grace and mercy to raise them. Now, I realize this can be a tough concept to get our arms around. I talk to so many parents who grew up in homes where their own parents used guilt and shame to try to build character into them, and frankly, it didn't work. Well, if that's your story, I'm glad you've tuned in today. I want to show you how grace-based parenting is beneficial both to your kids as well as to you as a parent. Author Tim Kimmel will be joining me for this discussion, and we're going to talk about how God's grace makes us better parents. So stay with us during the next half hour for a very good program on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. If you want to visit and see for yourself what APU's undergraduate experience is like, go to apu.edu/blogs and read what real students have to say. And the reason I bring this up again is because today here on the program, we're going to talk about parenting, how God's grace makes us better parents. And if you've got kids who are in high school and getting ready to move into the college years, you're having the conversation right now. Where are you going to land? Where are you going to wind up? Starting to hear back from schools. That's one part of this. And during the next half hour, Dr. Jim Burns joined in studio by Dr. Tim Kimmel to talk about how God's grace makes us better parents. Go to homeward.com if you're looking for resources to help you in this journey as well. Articles and media section is where you'll find it. Just put in better parenting at homeward.com. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about grace-based parenting with Dr. Tim Kimmel. I've been looking forward for months to having Tim on the program. He's the Executive Director of Family Matters in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's a noted author, has written many books. Two of them that I'm holding right now are Grace-Based Parenting, which I love the book, and also Why Christian Kids Rebel. He has hosted a nationally syndicated radio show called Tim Kimmel Live, married to Darcy, has four children and several grandchildren. Tim, welcome to our program.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Glad to be with you today.
Well, I have been looking forward to this for such a long time. Well, we're going to talk today about grace-based parenting. Mm-hmm. And my assumption is that many of us were raised on shame-based parenting. And so as a parent, it's not easy to kind of move to grace-based parenting. I mean, what is it?
Grace-based parenting, in one sentence, is simply treating your children the way God treats his children. That's all it is. God is dealing with us in grace. But what a lot of parents do is they use that shame-based, or here's the one I see a lot, Jim, is fear-based parenting. Mm-hmm. And they define all their plans on how they're going to do what they're going to do based on what they're frightened or intimidated by.
Now, when you talk about grace-based parenting and you bring God in, there are people who have a picture of God who is anything but filled with grace. He, you know, is pointing a finger at us, bringing shame and fear as well. How do you help a parent understand that that's not the God that you're talking about?
Well, this is why we really need to read the Word. Because, you know, when you read the Bible and you read the book of John and the book of Colossians and Galatians, and you see the heart of Jesus Christ and how he is not dealing with us according to our sin. And by the way, that verse I just shared is from the Psalms, from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But God is not dealing with us according to our sin because he took our sin on his own shoulders to pay for it. And he wants to set us free from that tyranny of sin, and he wants to give us life and life abundantly. And so shame and fear and guilt are no way to run a life, let alone a religion.
Now, when you talk about this, you mentioned the word free, and even in your book, you say that grace-based parenting sets your family free. Mm-hmm. What does it set your family free from?
Well, we all have inside of us some things working against us. You know, we have a bent towards sin and selfishness. We have an enemy on the outside that's trying to draw us away from God. And so all these things become shackles in our life. And what God wants to do is free us from our own shortcomings and also give us power over those forces in our culture or even the forces of evil that want to redefine us and give us the ability to live with clear love, a clear sense of significance, and a clear strength that comes from Him.
And that is so important, and yet sometimes hard for people to absolutely get a grasp of that. Now, in Grace-Based Parenting, the book, you compare parenting to a jigsaw puzzle with the border pieces removed. I love that illustration.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that.
Well, there's no one, not you or me or anybody, suggesting that parenting is easy or family is easy. It's not. It's more complex than ever before. But I think some things have happened that have made it tougher. I use the jigsaw puzzle because a jigsaw is a pretty big challenge. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what really makes it tough is when you get rid of the border pieces, and that would be our moral boundaries that we're supposed to live by. Mm-hmm. Our postmodern world has erased those and made them kind of, you just draw them wherever you want them. And then here's the other thing, and I said this in the book. Also, there's two other things. People have put pieces in the box that don't belong to this puzzle. But we assume they do, and so we kind of try and put them in. And this is where a lot of our religious training bogs us down with things that aren't in the Bible or aren't about what God wanted us to do, but we do them anyway. And then the third thing is we've lost the picture on the cover of the box. So we really don't know what the kid's supposed to look like when we're all done building them.
It's interesting you say that. I was talking with George Barna recently, and he was saying that even among Christian homes, there's really only about a 5% amount of kids who really lived with kind of a biblical worldview.
That's
correct.
That
was fascinating. And part of that is because they really have kind of removed the cover, haven't they? And that's a great illustration.
Yeah, they have. And you know, George can give you a lot of statistics on this, but you're an old youth pastor like I am. And one of the things we did in youth ministry is that we defined the finished product before we started. So if we get a kid at seventh grade and we're going to have them till the 12th grade, we think, okay, in this amount of time, what do we want to teach them and train them so that when they leave, they're ready?
Yeah.
Well, see, the average Christian parent doesn't think that way. And that's exactly how we should think. We should have our children well-defined before we start. It's like building a house. You don't start a house until you get the blueprints done. Because I'll tell you what, if you just drop off a bunch of building materials and have a bunch of carpenters and craftsmen there and say, have at it, and they don't have blueprints, you're going to have a mess on your hands.
Isn't that interesting, Tim? Because we oftentimes wouldn't think of doing that with a house. We wouldn't think of doing that in business. A lot of the men and women who have a business, they have a business plan.
Business plans.
But they allow their kids to kind of grow up by circumstance and chance, whether it be spiritually or just morally. And in any way, they just kind of say, well, we're going to let it happen.
And here's what's sad, Jim. Is that even though we might be parenting by accident, there's somebody else that's trying to parent our kids on purpose. Mm. And that's the forces of evil.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they want to do to those kids, and they want know exactly how they want to do that. And so we've got to be forthright. But now, just us saying this, Jim, don't you think some people are out there getting nervous thinking, well, how do I do that? And that's why we write books.
Sure, exactly. Now, when we're talking about the idea of grace-based parenting, and by the way, I love the concept. I love the book. It's a manual for parenting. But one of the things I'm worried about is in this generation, I see this even with some of our friends, mm-hmm. is because they were raised by shame-based parenting, they've kind of overcompensated.
Correct.
And I know it's not right, true grace, but they've kind of overcompensated so much that in many ways, their kids are just running wild now.
Well, absolutely. In fact, that's why you get some pushback on the concept of grace-based parenting by the people who assume it's something that it's not. They assume that it's basically licensed parenting. God has given us two extremes to avoid. On the one side, it's this license, liberty, do whatever you want, let your kids see whatever they want in the movie theater, play whatever video game, go wherever they want on the internet, hang out with whoever they want, say whatever they want, eat whatever they want. Well, that would be called reckless parenting, irresponsible parenting. But there's another side you can go to that is equally toxic and frankly complicates the spiritual side of it big time, and that's where you go to legalistic parenting,
right?
Where you lock these kids down. And either way, you're going to have some bad results, and you're not going to like your 20 years of efforts, what it gives you back.
Yeah, and that is so true. And in many ways, what I appreciate what you're saying is that the real test is how well-equipped the kids are to move into adulthood.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be raising our kids to be great people. And if you ask the average parent what their goals are, in raising their kids. They'll give you the usual suspects. Well, I want them to be successful and make a good living. Money is a big thing. And I'd like them, you know, to maybe get some fame along the way. So fame is very important. Influence, looks and beauty. And I say to parents, if that's what you're aiming your kids at, you are aiming so low. It's sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may get a kid that's successful, makes a lot of money, and they look nice in their Christmas picture, and they might even get their, you know, their name recognized, but they're not going to be great people.
Right. Right. And that's a great point. And a lot of times, like you say, we have to study this and we have to learn the maps. And at the beginning of your book, you talk about how sometimes our maps are wrong.
That's a good point. And a lot of times we can be sincere in our efforts to be really great parents and to raise really great kids. And quite frankly, we wind up becoming sincerely wrong. And it's okay to admit that and make a, you know, God allows for course corrections. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, you're listening to parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. In this conversation with Tim Kimmel, we're talking about how God's grace makes us better parents. Tim is the author of the book called Grace-Based Parenting. And we have a link to that on our website today. Also, Dr. Jim Burns has written extensively about this in his book, Confident Parenting. And I know a lot of parents who contact us, that's the underlying theme. The reason Jim wrote the book called Confident Parenting is said, look, too many parents are saying, I just don't know if I can do this. I'm not sure what to do. How do I handle this? And Jim has written the book to give you the confidence that you need to be the parent that your kids need. If you'd like more information on how you can order a copy of Confident Parenting from our Homeward Online Resource Center, go to homeward.com. You can also call 800-397-9725 or write to us. And when you do, include a gift of any amount in support of our ministry today. We will thank you for that tax-deductible donation by sending you a copy of the audio CD of this program as well. Write to P.O. Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693.
My best friend tried to kill herself last night. Her little sister found her in the bathroom right after she had slit her wrists. She said that her parents didn't even know she was alive, so why go on living? Why does she feel like that?
When I hear a story like that, I'm reminded of the sign I have on one of the walls in my office that says, every child needs at least one adult in his life who is irrationally crazy about him. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. One of the best gifts an adult can give a child is his or her time and a listening ear, because kids need adults, especially their parents, to listen to them. Providing a listening ear for your son or daughter might help them to avoid some pretty ugly experiences. Your very presence gives your kids a sense of caring and connectedness. So don't worry about always having the right answer at the right time. More often than not, you'll find that just being a good listener is all they need. I'm Jim Burns with Something to Think About from Homeward.com. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Grace-Based Parenting with Dr. Tim Kimmel. He's written a wonderful book. Actually, it's a gold medallion book called Grace-Based Parenting, Set Your Family Free. Tim, right before the break, we were talking about the fact that we want to raise our kids to be, in many ways, responsible adults. But yet, for many of us as parents, we don't have a map, so we just sort of go the wrong direction. And at the beginning of your book, you talk about fear-based parenting. We talked about it mm-hmm. at the beginning. One of the phrases you said is, our fears determine our strategy for parenting. Boy, I underlined that, circled that, because, you know, that's been my life, and I know that's wrong, but yet I keep going back to it because fear determines a lot of our strategy for life. Talk about that for a minute.
And by the way, there's a healthy fear that all of us should have.
Sure.
You know, I'm afraid of crossing a busy highway at rush hour, and God says, I want you to be scared of that, so you won't do it because it's dangerous. But there's other things that intimidate us that in the process, it sets us up to be defeated by the very things. You know, we're scared of Hollywood and the public school system, the gay community, the internet, Halloween. I mean, I just see Christians just get frightened to death of these things. And listen, if we're followers of Jesus Christ, we should be the last people afraid of just about anything.
Yeah.
God has not given us a spirit of fear. In fact, he says perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves punishment. And we're supposed to, people, if anything's supposed to be our calling card, it's joy. And the best definition I ever heard of joy, Jim, is the absence of fear. And so how in the world can we get our kids to buy on to our faith when all they see is we have this puny God that makes a bunch of scaredy cat parents, and we're making all of our plans to cloister and hide and cocoon our kids from a world around us because the God that we serve can't possibly protect us from it.
Isn't that fascinating? You know, even when the scripture says perfect love casts out fear. And so if we want to love our kids, what you're saying is we can't do it in a fear-based manner.
Not at all. It does not reward you with exciting, passionate, confident kids. It does not do that. You know, you can make a bunch of wimps, and they might be kids that love God, but they're not ready to live in the middle of the world. Let me throw out something right here that kind of sounds different than what you normally hear when Christians are talking about parenting. We are not supposed to raise kids who survive in the world. We're supposed to raise kids who thrive in the middle of the world. In other words, the nastier the world system gets, the more passionate and excited they get about their faith. Well, you can't do that if all we see about the world is what we loathe about it. And here's what's interesting is I hear Christians lament so many of the things about the world system and the people within the world system. It's almost like we can't stand these people. And yet, the most famous verse in the Bible, Jim, would be probably be what, John 3:16?
Sure.
Yeah, everybody would say John 3:16, but it's connected to John 3:17.
Right.
And he says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We shouldn't be mad at these people for being lost. We shouldn't be mad for the way they talk. That's how lost people talk. And yet we're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So fear-based parenting is just a bankrupt hand. It does not produce exciting, passionate Christian kids.
No, and that's very wise. Thank you. You have another one that fascinates me. It says evangelical behavior modification parenting, where you're again, this is so many of our listeners. We fall into this trap: the right school, the proper education. You know, on and on and on. Talk about that. As you're saying, that can be negative.
Well, absolutely, because it's all superficial. It's a checklist that goes down and says, if we're an evangelical family, we go to church, and we maybe put our kids in Awana and put them in a Christian school, or we homeschool them, and they cut their hair a certain way, and they don't do goofy things with their body, and they hang out with Christian kids, and they go to camps. And by the way, everything I just listed, there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. That's all great stuff. That was a part of our kids' lives.
Sure.
But if you do it for wrong reasons,
right.
here's a great principle, Jim. If you do good things for wrong reasons, you get bad outcomes.
Mm.
It doesn't matter how good they are.
Yeah.
And so this just becomes a checklist. And so if I'm looking like and acting like a good Christian kid, then I must be one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, well, not so fast.
Right.
Because this is about something in the heart, not something in the way we act.
No, I think that's important for parents. I mean, obviously, parents have to help their kids make right and wise decisions, and
sure,
some of those things that you talked about that are that way. But sometimes we put them in such a bubble that eventually that bubble is going to burst, and this is when they say, wait a minute, I've been living a lie because I didn't even know this world was out there, and you didn't prepare me for that world.
In fact, well, you know, if we talk about why Christian kids rebel, I'll be able to show a clear cause effect between raising your kids in a bubble and actually setting them up to reject the Lord.
Well, and that's going to be for another program, and I do want to talk about that, but I think I want to just mention it here. What you're saying is if we just keep them in the little evangelical bubble, that it really in some ways almost forces them to reject our faith and that bubble.
Well, for one thing, it's denying the very power that we're supposed to be utilizing to build our kids into great kids. Because, see, the bubble becomes their power. It protects them. The sterilized world we put them in becomes their real source of victory. The problem is, the Bible says it's something else called the Holy Spirit. It's supposed to be working from inside them, not just a nice little idyllic world outside of them. And then the Scripture is supposed to be their guide. I don't need the Scripture. That doesn't mean I don't study the Scripture inside the bubble. I study it. I might be able to do very well in it, but I don't really need it.
Right.
I pray, but I don't have to pray passionately and desperately. And as far as the Holy Spirit, I can give you all the theology on it, but he doesn't really have to play a role in my life. I don't need him. That's straight out of Satan's playbook.
Right.
And he loves that.
What's fascinating today is today's young people, especially as I'm thinking about teenagers now, these are kids who want to do extreme things. They say, you know, they'll use the phrase, you know, God is a dangerous God.
Yes.
And they mean that in a neat way. They want to go for it.
Yeah, they want to make a difference.
Right, they really do. They're willing to go to the inner city. They want to go on mission trips. And sometimes it's the parents who are holding them back saying, oh, no, we don't want to put you out in that particular
Or they want to go in, they want to go to the mission field, and the parents say, oh, I don't want you to do that because you can't make any money.
Right, exactly. It's fascinating how that is.
You ought to do the math on this one, Mom and Dad. You have any idea what God's got waiting for them in heaven? But anyway.
Sometimes we don't have an eternal perspective when it comes to parenting. Now, one of the other maps, and we won't get to all of them here, but one of the other issues of the map would be high control, or even you add image control parent. Seems mm-hmm. like a lot of Christian parents tend to do that type of parenting.
Yes, yes. High control is just strong-arming your kids. I define control this way, Jim. It's when I leverage the strength of my personality or my position against your weaknesses in order to get you to meet my selfish agenda. And then when you add that to image control, you're saying that we want to create an image of what we are as a family. It might be smoke and mirrors, but we must maintain that image. And so we prop that up. But the kids who can say, wait a minute, I can see that what people perceive us as and what we truly are light years apart. Mm-hmm. And see, that once again is all Satan needs to build a wedge between them and you as parents and them and God.
No, you're so right. And one of the things I appreciate, and I hear you saying this, I want you to comment on it, is that kids who grew up in a fair, firm, with consistently enforced boundaries, these are kids who actually are happier than others and who experience grace, but at the same time, you know, they feel secure and they feel loved. I mean, talk about that.
Yeah. Well, you've got to have boundaries. The Bible talks about boundaries, and there's clear moral boundaries and so forth. The problem is that we add mm-hmm. to these boundaries
right.
things that aren't in the Bible. And that causes, we do it arbitrarily, but we moralize it and make it a biblical issue when it really isn't. Well, that ticks the kids off. And also, we want to be setting these boundaries up to set them free to be greater in their spiritual life, not to be intimidated.
Boy, that's very good insight from Tim Kimmel here, and it brings us to the end of part one of our conversation. It's a two-parter. We'll continue this on the next edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Our theme today, How God's Grace Makes Us Better Parents, and Tim Kimmel's book, Grace-Based Parenting, is one that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. You can learn more about it when you visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. While you're there, be sure you also take a look at the articles and media section, and just type in Grace-Based Parenting. You're going to find dozens of articles, video clips, and more available to you without cost to help you become the kind of parent your kids need. And we can provide these materials because of your prayers and faithful financial support when you're online with us at homeward.com. You can also give a gift in support of our ministry. And here at the end of the year, we would love to hear from you with that gift. Jim, take the final moments of our time together here and talk about why it's so important for us as parents to be grace-based parents for our kids.
Number one is grace-based parents realize that their kids need security in their hearts. Let's face it, the world just seems to kind of be getting weirder and weirder, doesn't it? And our kids are facing a culture where they're being told that nothing is certain for them, not even the knowledge of right and wrong. Well, when you let God's grace be your parenting guide, you can instill into your kids the hope of a future spent with Him and the assurance that there is truth and that they can find authentic relationships. Now, more than ever before, God's grace brings that kind of much-needed security, in my humble opinion. Grace-based parents also know that their children need a sense of significance in their lives. And kids today want to know that their life has meaning. They're hungry to discover their sense of purpose. I think this generation especially. And if they try to measure themselves against the world standards, well, they're just not going to find it. But once you as a parent show them their value in God's economy, well, I think you'll cement that sense of significance into their souls, one of the main job descriptions you've got. Thirdly is grace-based parents realize their kids need strength for the future. And the world has changed so much, even in the brief period of time since your kids were born. Who's to say how much more change your children will have to manage as they move into the young adult years? Well, fortunately, you know that God's grace is the ultimate source for strength.
Amen. 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 Can't say amen enough to that sentiment, Jim. And as it brings us to the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, I want to encourage you to join us again for part two when Jim continues this conversation with Tim Kimmel on how God's grace makes us better parents. Of course, if you podcast with us, you already have that program because we put it up a little while ago. And if you'd like to learn how to podcast along with us, we podcast the Monday through Friday half-hour edition of the Homeward Broadcast via iTunes. If you go to homeward.com and hit the podcast button, then you can set up your subscription and get the programs in your iPod or MP3 player without even having to think about it. We also stream audio here at homeward.com, so if you missed any part of this program, you can just go back to the archives there and listen to it. Also, encourage your friends to check this out as well when you go online at homeward.com, because we have a lot of different resources and materials available to you. And I've noticed that our online listenership has gone up as more of you are going to find one program and then searching out other programs that might be similar topics. We've got keywords and filters to help you get to the programming that you need. And you'll find all of that audio programming without cost when you go to homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.